I just want to talk about something that's really in vogue with modern offensive basketball.
Get deep.
And that's just some concepts and principles of the
deep
penetration,
deep
dribble penetration game.
Well, all series long, we've been able to penetrate their bigs.
But there's also a topic within a topic.
Get deep. Suck the D in, and then we penetrate their bigs. Get deep.
That's the ostensible reason for doing the clinic.
All right. Draftastic deep penetration time with Josh Dill, owner of the Meat Stormers, Chris Kavanaugh, owner of the Fluffheads, and Forrest Johnson, owner of the Meat Bro, the Meat Bros.
Meat Bros.
the Unibros. All right.
That was the last podcast.
That's right. Okay. So we've got Josh and Chris on, and I thought, since it is the season of holidays, that we could have a Festivus theme. This will be the Draftastic Festivus podcast episode. So let's just get started with the airing of grievances.
Well, Chris, this is going to be you. I know you're jumping in a bit here.
What do you bring
to the table?
I only have like 5 minutes of good stuff here, so I'm going to stretch it out longer than I should.
Do that. Yeah.
But let me just first preface this by saying, as much as I talk crap about mostly Jeff, but everybody in our league and Jeremy, I guess, I do want to say that this is really an awesome thing that we have, that we can have podcasts.
Hold on, this is not your role.
It's a Festivus miracle. We're getting
your lane, Mike.
I got half a drink left. After that's gone, then we'll get to the good stuff.
Okay.
So my disclaimer is just that, you know, I know Jeff doesn't take any of this personally, but everybody else, I love everybody here.
Yeah.
Let's all get along. Peace, brothers. And now let's talk crap about each other.
That's right.
Now let's talk the truth.
I don't even know you.
You know what? Honestly, when we first got on, or when we first were talking about you and I doing this, I was all fired up. I was like, I'm going to write all these notes about everything that's been done wrong to me this whole last 10 years or whatever it's been. And then I kind of softened up, but I got some stuff. So,
well, that's good, because I mean, my first grievance is with you, Forrest. I mean, I created this league.
That's true.
Out of my head. Like, it just came to me out of my head, put it to paper, put it to action.
Yeah.
And this, you know, 10 years into the league, this is my first podcast.
That's right.
Right here. This is it. This is the founding fathers' first podcast. And we were talking before we started this pod. You did have Maze on here. So that there is that, right? Because he's done a lot for this league. Like, give Manutes a couple titles and set him up for success for a long time. But no, you don't want to bring the founding father in. Thank you. I complain enough with Chris. I got on Chris's wavelength and said, you know what, fine. I'm just going to start complaining. And then finally, the squeaky wheel gets
squeaky
oil.
Wheel. Got the grease. That's true. Right. I don't have a good reason for that, except for if you had asked, I would have said yes.
Yeah, right.
Well, then maybe that's where we could start here too, Josh, is, you know, there's been lots of discussion, being the founding father, about all of your championships that you've won not being valid.
Well,
I'm sure you have an argument about that. But
boy, yeah, and that is just, I mean, put some respect on my name. You know, like that's where I'm at with this thing. You know, I think Dame said it best in the bubble.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think 7 minutes is feeling pretty good. He put me in like tier 4 when he came up with his. And that's just, it's disrespectful. Nice. And you know, when we talk about feats of strength, we'll get into where we're all at as far as how, like let's look at the data. And let's see where we're at, right? Let's be data driven, let's be results focused, right?
Sure.
And let's come with good solutions on who has been great in this league. But it's flat out disrespectful. And you know, the blind pigs, they want to talk about how they've never had a high draft pick. He's picked 3rd. I've picked 4th as my highest. And that was the first year because there were 4 teams.
Right.
And I picked last. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it was handed to me on a silver platter, like, you know, like I inherited a really good team from a really poor owner, like some other people in our league. Right. Like, I've earned my championships. And I just want some respect on that. Like,
I guess I'm not a historian of our league by any means. Did you win a championship since we even went to 8 teams?
Yes, I have. In 15-16, I won the championship. So the championship goes meet Stormers, Minutes, Minutes, meet Stormers, TRB, TRB, Minutes, Minutes. So, and that's another thing that I think we forget about how good Christian has been with the reverse box. Like we just,
well, and he's been good because he so much took a team credit. Over.
He did. He took, I mean, yes, just saying. He took a great team over, but he has done some stuff since he's taken him over, and, you know, flat out, he just beat me 2-7 tonight. And I felt like my team played really well, and it's 7-2. You know,
well, so I guess I wouldn't. I mean, I hate to give you compliments, Josh, about anything, but
you're going to,
other than your paid job. But you know, they don't discredit Bill Russell's championships, and there were not 30 teams in the NBA when he won his 13 in a row or whatever.
Well, and young kids do, right?
Well, who cares about those guys?
We've got some people in this league that would want to discredit Bill Russell as a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's just it's silly. It's silly. But we went from 4 teams to 8 in year 2. So it's not like,
oh, it was year 2?
It was year 2. Yeah,
look at that expansion. Okay.
I know. Yeah, you were the expansion. You were the first, you know, we went from 4 to 8 that very next year, and then we stayed for 8 for quite a while before we moved to 10 and then 12.
The original 4 was you, me, Adam, and
Kyle, my buddy Kyle, my best friend Kyle. Yeah,
got it. Yeah,
and I remember
a year.
I remember like talking trash to Kyle that he chose like Gordon Haywood, and like he's still pretty good in this league. Like I almost like broke his spirit by talking trash to him so much. I'm out, dude. Like I don't want to. It did the opposite effect of I was just trying to banter and no, I got Greg Monroe. He's going to be,
Well, Greg Monroe was winning championships then.
He sure was. He was impressive.
A different kind of league.
And the other thing to look about, and we'll talk more about feats of strength, but, Fluffheads, you were pretty darn close to winning one that first or the second year.
Was it?
Yeah, you were like a quarter away from beating.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've had a couple of top three finishes, I noticed. I was actually doing my homework, and maybe this is a good grievance if we're ready to start talking about our commissioner.
we are.
2000 and – well, it was 2 years ago, so 18-19, is that right?
Yeah.
I finished third in our league, and that got me nothing as far as money went. And then the next year is when we added in the top three finishers win money. And I believe that's when our commissioner finished in that position. So, there's the first one off the top of my head I could remember that,
well, the commissioner did finish second last year. So, that's true. I mean, yeah, there is that, but yeah, you did get screwed.
Yeah. Well,
that's typical.
And then, if we'd like to talk about our positioning and getting Kawhi Leonard a backcourt spot this year, I get he's a small forward. That's fine. But not just did everybody else get their things approved except for me, literally just for me. And normally it's not just me, but I bitch like it is. like it is, but it was just me. Then he changed the positioning so that you could have up to 3 guards playing and only 1 center. And so now this guy's starting 4 guards basically, because Jimmy Butler is a small forward and slash shooting guard.
Oh man, this guy.
So his rule change benefit. And I checked the lineups. He's the only one that's starting 3 guards. I think there's one other team that has maybe 3 guards, but he's got really 4 guards and then Drummond. So he set up the rule again to benefit himself. And
well, and that's where we're at. We're talking about grievances. I think he built this. And truth be told, and I know Chris already went soft on us, but
I'm done being soft. I was just
I know you had to get it out. Not so. Here's my softy moment. I created something pretty special, and Jeff took it to the next level. There's no question. He took my but there's some things in there. He created this inner circle within the team or within the whole group, it was like supposed to be like the founding fathers, and we were supposed to have like,
oh right,
on, chime in. Do you guys remember that?
The rules committee. Yeah, I was part of
the rules committee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, I think it was. I don't know if it is, but I'm not a part of it. If it is,
I stopped getting those emails.
Yeah. Yeah. We got these notifications. These text. Yeah. Exactly. It was very similar to when Dan told you, Chris, like, yeah, hey, we're going to ask you not to come to our football
meeting. Oh, you have productive things to say. Sorry, you can't be here anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just not. We're just gonna. So I don't know if that was it, and he just went with a bunch of people like on that first pod that just
yes
wanted
people.
To shake
he
his hand.
Yes
they ones. Were just yeah, wanted a bunch of yes people that just wanted to shake the hand of the
which is none of us apparently.
Which is really not our role, you know. Yeah. So, you know, that is a grievance for sure. I just like these rules keep coming out there, and I'm like, well, I guess we'll go with that one because it does put you in a better position.
And honestly, he's the only one that is actually reading the real CBA to know if these are real. I mean, he could tell us it's in the CBA, right, and none of us are looking at it. So
right,
we could be running some fantasy fake CBA that he's got concocted. That,
and I wouldn't put it past him.
No, you know?
I just wouldn't put it past him.
Not usually.
Well, and then the biggest one. And here's the other one. The response time between asking him a question. I mean, we have a Bible basically that we're studying, and I spend more time reading this Bible than my other Bible, which is an issue, you know, it's an issue then in and of itself, but I'm working on it, but I'm trying to get well-versed in the Draftastic Bible. And
you just have to memorize a Draftastic Bible.
So I've got this man of faith in the blind pigs that, you know, that the commissioner that can tell me, you know, if I got this right or wrong, and I ask him these questions in this wait time, it's like he's in the general feed, just blurting about everything that's going on. And I asked a question 24 hours ago, and he still hasn't gotten back to me.
That's what I was going to say. He's seen the question. He has seen the question.
He's seen it. He's seen it. It's like when you text him, and he'll get back to you. But if you call him, oh no, it's not happening. Nope, shut it down. It goes straight to voicemail.
And that was you had the same thing happen with your second, third round picks, but it was one draft. I sat down and I go, why do I have Jeff Withey signed for 3 years and I don't have any cap space? And he's like, oh, you never emailed me. I was like, what? You know,
yeah,
rules change already, you know, but
can I get a warning? Just a warning every once in a while. That would be nice.
I know, but you know, and then the 1 year. So, you know, we can get into our rosters and how last week's podcast kind of screwed you and I over a little bit, Josh. But
oh, for sure.
It was the year I was actually going to reset my roster. I was going to trade Kawhi and do some things. And it was to Boskies. And the rules changed at the end of the season where Boskies went from having the fourth pick to the eighth pick. And nobody knew that happened until after. Well, I guess I should say Boskies and us didn't know.
And that was because of the way the lotto turned, like,
yeah. Right. So I was going to trade Kawhi to them for the fourth pick and Nurk. And then I was going to end up with, I was going to draft Doncic with the first pick and then another post with the fourth pick. And then that whole thing blew. And actually, Josh, you and I had a trade in place for Barnes, right?
For
so
Barnes,
I was
going
to
read,
I had this whole master plan ready to go. And then it all blew up with
one rule change,
and that was it.
I was gonna get Buddy Hield out of that. Man.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that would have been big.
So you know, the commission and I have lots of.
Well, and he just is on his little like pedestal, thinking he's better.
That's totally Jeff. It's his character.
All right, we love you, Jeff. Jeez, we love you.
Just, to be fair, I don't think the rules committee is a thing anymore. I think it's just Slack posts to the official.
It's just Jeff's brain.
Just a unilateral choice now, right?
Just
I think it's like
he decides.
It's like Jeff realizes what probably should be happening and says it on Slack, and you know, you got about a day to respond or a couple days.
Well, and
a day to respond before it gets buried, really. You probably could respond before that, but it's 30 posts up on the Slack channel.
Right. And he's got some great ideas, and we've made some great progress in the league. And you know, the we're on the side of grievances here. I mean,
yeah,
7 minutes thinks he, you know, owns the place. But, you know, Jeff, we've been talking for years about bringing in coaches, right? Just bringing in coaches. And you know, Jeff proposes this. And, you know, I think everybody, maybe besides Chris, because Chris has to say no right away, you know, like he's
that's his role. That's
my firstborn. Like, you just we're going to Disneyland tomorrow. I don't want to go. Like, that's what's going
to
come out.
I'm the realist. No, I'm the realist.
We're gonna have to realist.
Let's just call it that. Yeah, yeah. So I think everybody but Chris was like, "Yeah, let's we're in." And then Michael just out of the blue goes, "Yeah, I think we should. I'd rather look at something about college players." I'm like, what? Where did that come from? Like, out of left field. I know you're this beautiful mind over here creating your team and building this, but let's think about college players. Where did that come from, Mike? I mean, come on, this guy. I mean, yeah, we get it. You're the guy. You're Phil Jackson. You're the guy that has all these championships, and you're, you know, singing Kumbaya up on a hill somewhere, but you want to bring college players into this mix instead of a coach?
Just leave some bags of money on doorsteps. That's what he's looking for.
What would we do? We'd be, here's a car that means like you're gonna decline. You're gonna not sign work with the out for the beach next year. Stormers.
Yeah, right. <not working out. laughs>
Well, I've appreciated Michael selfishly because he had my back with Kawhi. He had my back with the no coaches. Obviously he is on his own pedestal, but I don't know. The coach thing, it'd be nice to discuss in a panel of 12 of us to see what the real reasoning is there. But
And I think Jeff did the right thing with that. I know this is a grievance segment, but I think he did a great thing.
Well, normally he'd jump ahead, right? He'd push the rule through the night before and say, "Hey, we're drafting coaches tomorrow too." So, and oh, by the way, you have extra cap space for that. If you have a max guy that you want to re-sign, you can have him. After us, the rest of us try to budget our money, he just keeps controlling those for people to hold on to those guys. Oh, let's go into the tax and just charge you a penny per dollar. It's fine. Oh, okay.
A penny per dollar. I think if I have a festive, if I may be permitted for a Festivus. Oh,
please.
Yeah, I mean, you're here. Let's go.
My thing, I have suggested occasionally, and it never gets any traction, but I really think for free agent signings, we need a 20-sided die that's like weighted for like, can you, like, this player just is not going to accept an offer from your team. if we're trying to go real life, like,
oh, that's interesting.
Things happen that way, but it's too D&D. I feel like for the league, every time I bring it up, everybody's like, "Look at this nerd! How did he make it into this crew?"
First of all, let's go ahead and out yourself. Are you a D&D guy?
I have never actually played, but I like this. I like it in theory.
I like the idea of playing it as well. I just haven't ever done it.
Because my son, Kellen, just got into D&D with some friends, and so.
Let's start a clan. Is that what you do? Let's get after
to
it.
A troop.
Yeah,
no, it's called walking around the campaign. Woods. You need a campaign. That's it. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, you start a campaign. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but maybe even just a magic eight ball, like. You know,
there you go.
Ooh, science point. Yes, I like that a lot. Ask again later.
I think that's. I think.
What do you do? Yeah,
I think that puts too much power on it. It should just be like this.
As long as the commission isn't shaking the eight ball, I'm okay with it.
But. Right.
Sorry, they all want to come. I do to like the blind
that
pigs.
Idea. That is an interesting idea. If we had a way where they just rejected it. Like flat out said, I'm not playing for you.
Or for some reason you will offer Luka Doncic the one, like his restricted or unrestricted free agent year, you offered him like the mid-level, and then you had like a one in a lot chance of him accepting. But, you know, once in a while that happens and the league shifts or something.
Or not even that, but even restricted free agents.
Yeah.
guy you're building everything around, goes James Harden on you and says, no, I'm out of here. Like, yep. You're going to trade. Ooh, finding a way to do that. That would,
I like really... the eight ball. I think if it's restricted, you get like best two out of three spins or shakes at the eight ball. If it's an unrestricted guy, maybe it's a one and done. If he's switching teams or lead, you know, I don't know, but that could be.
That's interesting. I don't know about the eight ball though, because I just feel like the eight ball's not.
That's what the real NBA does, right? According to the commission.
What kind of how many sides are on the eight ball thing?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, is there only one thing in there? I'm not sure how this works. Who knows? I'd like to have some sort of, and I know we've joked about this, but some kind of rumor mill when it comes to our fantasy or to free agency. Mm. Because, I mean, numbers are out there in the real NBA about what guys might be looking for or signing for. Mm-hmm. And so if we had those rumors of like, and I don't know how we do that objectively without somebody looking at the offer sheets, but that way I could know like, oh, nobody's going to sign Kemba for $8 million. I can sit on him for another day and sign him for $5 million. You know, who knows? Yep. But I don't know how we do that objectively. Have one of our kids read him or something before.
Because I've been thinking about, even with me doing the podcast, if I'm hosting, I'm an owner, like, of course I'm going to talk good about my team.
Right.
Like I think I posted this on the Slack, but can you imagine a podcast that was like a bunch of the GMs, just the GMs talking?
Right.
Yeah. I would definitely tune into that.
Oh yeah. But it would be like, just like patting yourself on the back the whole time and each other on the back. Like
what would happen is they would say nothing. Is what would happen. Yeah. Like realistically speaking, they would.
I love the guys we signed.
Never tried it. That's it. Everybody on our team is like completely available and also not available at all.
Right.
But we love them and respect them way too much for you to trade for them. Yeah. Well, do you guys think that Anthony Simons got? I know I'm derailing us a little bit, but that's my role. Do you think he got a little run last night to improve his trade value?
Oh, interesting.
Him being a fluffhead, I was all about him getting some playing time finally, but
he looked good. I mean, we're not at practice, so we don't know, but how good has Trent been? And then all of a sudden for Simons to play over him doesn't make sense to me.
Other than Simons hadn't been able to play in the preseason, other than that first game, maybe they just needed to see him.
He's been crushing it at practice, but
maybe I thought they just rolled out a lot of different lineups last night, a lot of different combinations of guys. It looked like Dame or CJ needed to be in the whole time, but we're looking at like, okay, Simons is the one, Dame's at the two. Like Stotts seemed to be moving guys around quite a bit last night, and I think it's just trying to figure out what a rotation is going to look like.
He doesn't know yet. But part of me was like, I mean, are we really looking at Harden? You know, I just think that Dame would have to sign off on it. That's what makes me say it's not going to happen. But logically, I think it would happen. It makes logical sense that you can get a Hall of Famer right now.
Yeah.
In his prime, like it just like.
And if it was for CJ, Simons, Collins, and a pick or two. Pick.
Yeah.
Probably just one at that point because we're given three. I don't know how you say no to that.
Yeah, right. I don't feel good about two picks because we've already given them two picks.
Yeah, your post on Slack was pretty good. I was like, oh, that makes a lot. That puts it a lot more in perspective. Just how many picks we've given them.
And can we get Tucker back for it too? You know, can Tucker be a throw-in?
Oh, that.
I just look at it and go, okay. I mean, the only thing that says no is Dame.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it really makes way too much sense.
Well, and he's got that respect in the organization that it would come down to him.
And I think the other thing would be like if they know like what Harden's commitment level really is, you know, is he saying like, I'll go there because it's someplace new and not quite as toxic for me, but I'm not going to like be a good soldier necessarily.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you can't get me to Philly? Fine, I'll go to Portland. That's not
I just want to get out of here. Right.
Yeah.
Totally. I know that derailed us a little bit, but that's, no, that's right. Obviously a hot topic right now.
If we can finish our grievances in terms of our rosters and the breakdown of our rosters from the last couple of weeks, Josh.
That'd be good. You got a lot to say. They were complimentary. It was like backhanded compliments, but that's something.
Well, and so the way this league works is if you make a lot of trades, you get a lot. You're a popular kid in our league. So because I haven't made a lot of trades, and I'll get into that in a minute why, but I'm just kind of there, right? And so I underachieve because I don't make a bunch of big fancy trades where I'm moving whoever for whoever. And so, you know, I think the point was made in my offseason, my biggest pickup was Jay Crowder. But if you look at my roster, actually from last year, Nurk was out all year. Ayton sat out half the year. Kemba was, well, he only missed a few games, but he was sort of hurt. And then I had like these other guys that didn't play. And so this year, I was strapped because I was already in luxury tax with all my cap holds, and I didn't want to just let Kemba walk and let Kawhi walk. And so, I was kind of stuck until I could sign those guys for the right price. Yep. And so then when I did, I had cap space, and then that's where I made Josh pay for Sabonis. But I'm really adding – this is the first year since I've been in the league because I drafted Tristan Thompson, my first pick of my first year. Mm-hmm. He's been my starting five since I've been in the league, which is not great.
Yeah.
And this is the first year I didn't have to start him because I have Nurk and Ayton and I was trying to get – that's why I was trying to get Kawhi as a guard because I was trying to sneak another center forward in there. But so anyway, adding to Crowder, let's talk about Nurk. Let's talk about Ayton. Let's talk about some of those other guys where, you know, I finished fifth. And, yes, the gap, the top four versus the bottom seven is a huge jump. But I finished fifth last year, third the year before. I bottomed out the year before that because that was the year Kawhi was out the whole year and Kemba was hurt. So I've been competitive with these guys. And so that's where I was like, well, I'm going to run it back and get them at the right price and we'll see what happens.
Well, and what the ironic thing is, you're kind of pulling the Portland, little Shea move.
Oh yeah.
Right. And well, as much as you, I mean, it is, you're running it back with the same team and tweaking a little bit.
I just want to see my guys classic, healthy. I want to see how it goes.
That's a classic old Shea move. And I guess.
See, that's where we get into sticky ground here. I don't want to talk.
We get into sticky ground, right? But it's not like, you know, like the comments that you made at me on Slack, you know, a few weeks ago.
What are you talking about there, Dill?
Do you want to know?
No, I don't.
Because I can go right back at you with that. I mean, you know, like. Okay. All right.
Remember,
I mean,
keeping this PG for the kids there, buddy.
Just let, you know, your four houses down. I mean, we can meet in the neighborhood.
We might need to do that.
Well, but the reality is you're old Shea in it. I mean, you really I might are. Be.
But ultimately I looked at my draft picks, my whole history. And other than 2 years ago when I had the first pick, and yes, I picked Ayton over Doncic, but at the time, Nobody really knew who Doncic was.
Yeah.
A and B, I had just drafted De'Aaron Fox the year before, so I didn't need a guard. And anyway, yes, I should have drafted Doncic looking back. But other than that, my top pick has been a four, my fourth year in league. It's been 6-6, 5-5, 6-5, 1-10. And so it's not like I'm getting one of the top picks in the draft. And so I feel like, you know, I've actually drafted really well. It's just the transactions I've made after I've drafted those guys where I screwed myself. You know, I draft CJ and then trade him to Dill.
Trey Lyles.
I draft Porzingis and then trade him to Josh. And then I drafted Siakam with a fourth round pick 1 year and then left. I chose Trey Lyles over him the year we expanded. So I lost Siakam. Clint Capella, I had drafted with a third or fourth round pick, you know. So, like, if I had never made any moves and I just kind of held on to people, I'd probably be better off than I am now anyway. But
I'm the exact same.
But who knows? You know,
it's tough to do another
podcast.
Though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When I feel like I'm a better drafter than I am a trader.
I totally am.
It's so aggravating to me to see guys that I drafted succeed on other teams.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh, totally.
I mean, I still root for them. I think I saw the Blind Pigs say that they root against former Blind Pigs, or somebody said that the other day. And I think I still like root for those guys, but it's like,
I do too.
It's like TJ Warren when he was blowing up in the bubble. It's like, that's a unibrow. And then I realize he's not a unibro.
I go through statistics of seasons and I'm like, I look at the top 20 in different stat and I'm like, okay, I'm looking for Meat Stormers, ex Meat Stormers, or Blazers. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Like, you're like, oh man, how did I let this guy go? Like, what am I thinking?
Apparently, this year I was looking for Phoenix Suns or Sacramento Kings because I've got five or six of those guys now.
Well, and I traded, I had three Hawks and I had to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought about trying
a little bit. We'll see how that ends up. That's a questionable move.
I got an off-season tidbit. I got offered the first pick for Bogdanovich. And I turned it down because I thought he was going to the Bucks.
Oh.
Wow.
I thought he was going to be a champion and play with Giannis, and now he's putting up like 8-6.
Wow.
Right now.
It's like, for Bogdan, what in the – who had the first pick?
I think it was
Jeremy did, right?
Jeremy, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I was probably – it was probably like Bogdan in my first pick, first round, but
– okay.
I would have thought about I would have entertained the first pick. I didn't like this year's draft much more.
I didn't want to be
– strong.
Yeah. And I didn't do a lot of draft research this year, so I didn't feel like I was in a place. I've always liked Bogdan, so –
Yeah,
that was my other grievance too. Like, sorry, Josh.
Go for it.
Maybe we can move into some other things here, but there's this kind of, and I don't know who all is in this group when it comes to our league, but there's this, NBA league pass crew that is watching, Tuesday night, they're at home watching Minnesota at Charlotte,
right.
Breaking down film and doing whatever else they're doing. And I've been coaching. My Tuesday nights, I'm either coaching at Centennial or I'm breaking down film of freaking Reynolds girls basketball teams. Right. So I don't get to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to watch the NBA from, November through the end of February.
Right.
And then the one year we went down to
the Hoop Summit.
And you've got your little notebook there and you're taking notes on Bol Bol and whoever else. It's like, I don't know what the heck's going on here. I just don't have this kind of time to be doing this kind of stuff. anyway, it's been nice to be able to not have basketball right now. I've watched, as many NBA games as I can so far, but
totally.
I barely watched the Blazers from, my whole season. And so getting to see these random pickup guys, and that's where my free agent pickups are. It's like, okay, I've seen him play twice and he's averaging 14 points. I'll try to get him. Because I don't get to watch a whole lot, but there's a little bit of that variance of like, I do like to parent my own children and see them instead of watching a Wednesday night doubleheader on TNT. So, some of us have some more freedom than that, I guess, but it's okay.
That's good.
I am a member of the League Pass, but
I thought you were.
Yeah, I don't take very good advantage of it. I always buy in with like high hopes, but I am home with the kids a lot. Yeah. But that means if I'm watching, if the game that I'm interested in isn't on NBA TV or whatever, then I'm watching it on my phone while I'm cooking dinner. So it means I'm not watching or I'm not cooking dinner very well.
Usually it's the dinner, right?
Or it's me just watching my own guys. Like,
Is
Mitchell Robinson playing? Well, I guess I'll watch the Knicks for a little bit. Right. But then I see like guys talking about the league pass and different players that they're seeing playing well, and I'm like, I missed all of that. I don't. I'm not doing this right. I don't know how to do it.
Well, I think the box score is always a fun one for me to get caught up. But yeah, you're right, Chris. When I'm in football season, there's no, I don't have time to see my family. I'm not watching even the Blazers.
Right.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's not a big part of our league typically.
For me this year, for me this year with draft season not being during the summer, being like right in the fall, that sucked for me. Like, because that was right when I was in the middle of teaching my class and stuff. And it's just not like, it was just not going to happen for me to do any research really, except for, have various podcasts on occasionally.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's interesting that this year has been such a wild year that, you know, with not having football for me. And I actually had a buddy that we do homeschool. Well, it's not homeschool, but we're in a little pod together with our kids. And he had League Pass. And so he gave me his login from Christmas. Like, it's like, hey, man, thanks for all your work. And here you go. I'm like, sweet, man. And in fact, he would be. He'd be a fantastic, he loves the NBA a lot. So he would be awesome. He'd be a good owner. He'd be a good owner if we decide to expand. But so I've actually been enjoying it off this break, and I don't have football, you know, right now. And so I think the elliptical is my time to get on League Pass. Yeah. Like that's you just go through the different games and you're working out. It's been a good excuse for me for sure to get on there and to follow my guys.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a good way to do it. Should we
want to transition to feats of strength?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, what do you got?
So what I've done is I've taken the statistics and the standings from our first year all the way through, and you know, I still put some respect on my name, and I still stand by that notion.
I'll take Manute as a sign.
Especially when it comes to Manute. I mean, hey, listen, Manute is, he's great. You know, I think Tyler just keeps throwing him the lobs and he's slamming it home, and you know, he's done some great things. But let's look at year by year breakdown. Okay. Year one, there's only four teams.
Right.
Okay. Say what you want, but I took the fourth pick that year. Meats finished one, Fluffheads two, Manute's three. Year two, we moved to eight teams. Meat is first, Unibrows second, Pritch Slapped is third, which is a great name for a team, by the way.
It was a great name, yes.
Just a great room, great name. The next year, we get a little bit, there was a transition between who's running the league, and the records aren't great. We know that seven Manute's won. We don't know who finished second or third. The following year, Manute's, Logan, then Meat. The following year, in 15-16, the Meat Stormers get back to the top. So Manute's won for 2 years in a row, and then the Meat Stormers get back into the championship window, wins the championship. Unibrows finished second, Timbercocks third.
I just like to always point out, if the Spurs win that year, Unibrows win because of Gary Neal.
That's it right there. and that was the one where we were like a quarter of a point. I beat you by like a quarter of a point.
Gary Neal would have gotten time, we thought I was going to win a champion.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened to Manute that year, because he went from first back-to-back years to nothing. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if it was probably the downfall of Cousins, right?
Because
Cousins dominated the league, and then I traded him Cousins for Anthony Bennett, which obviously turned out well. I'm waiting for the return on that.
I mean, you are the original throwing the lob to the seven Manutes, aren't you?
I did. You're right. That's true. You get Tyler Brock. You're right.
Damn it. Is that straight up? There was no other picks involved?
No. I gave him Draymond Green also, but that was before Draymond did anything.
Draymond and Cousins for the number one pick?
Yeah. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Anthony Bennett was picked fifth in our league.
Yeah.
That year. So our league dialed it in. Like, our league knew he was a bust, except for me, obviously. Huh. And, like, but the Cavs just picked Anthony Bennett because I thought he was going to be Larry Johnson. I thought that he was LJ, he was Grandmama, and I wanted all of that. Like, I thought that was him. And when the Cavs took him first, I was like, okay, I need to go. Because I didn't think I was going to be able to. I didn't understand the salary cap and how to structure it at that time, because we were just bringing that into the league, and I thought I needed to sign both these guys, and they're both like big guys. Like, I need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I it was a horrible move.
Yeah. Like, it was
16,
easy.
Seven. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's just an easy time to make bad choices.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
And we were starting out with a salary cap, and nobody really knew what the implications. Gave
Timofey Mozgov a max deal.
Wow. Yes. And we need a whole pod looking at draft grades and free agency. Yeah. Right. And I think we need.
But it has to be like 3 years. Yeah. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't go last year or anything. It has to be.
No, it has to be. No, it has to be like, let's start with 2010, how we drafted, and then let's go 11.
Yeah, it's got to be a whole series because you can't, there's not enough time to go through that whole.
I love that. That's right, a great spiel. Idea.
Yeah, I've been saying it for about 2 years. We're done with our grievances, but I've been saying that.
Yeah, fair enough. I do remember those comments even.
In 16-17, Touch Reverse Box wins his first championship. Timbercox. The owner that never did anything but drafted really well takes second, and the Meat Stormers finished third. In 17-18, Touch Reverse Box wins again, back-to-back championships. Unibrows finished second, Meat Stormers finished third.
So many seconds.
18-19, 7 minutes, first place. Touch Reverse Box, second place. Fluffheads, third. 19-20. 7 minutes, first place. Blind Pigs, second place. Touch Reverse Box, third. So what I did is I created a cumulative score.
Oh, nice.
So and so you get 5 points if you're first place, 3 if you're second, 1 if you're third. Seems right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You
could have just gone reverse numbering, but that's cool.
No, it is cool.
Okay. Could have gotten 12-1.
I feel like first place is a lot better than third.
All right.
I don't know. So, Meat Stormers. Okay, so let me break this down. So, Pritch Slap gets a third place finish. Timbercox and the Fluffheads get a second and a third place finish. And then the top five, Blind Pigs are fifth with 6 points, 2 second place finishes. Unibrows are fourth with 3 second place finishes. Touch Reverse Box is third with 2 championships, a second and a third. That equals 14 points. With 18 points, the Meat Stormers have 3 championships and 3 thirds. And 7 minutes is first with 4 championships and 1 third. So when I say put some respect in my name, I mean, you look at six of the 9 years, I've been in the mix. I've been in the top three. And, you know, the last two I haven't, you know, and I rehauled our roster. I did what I needed to do and feel like I'm going to be back in that top three conversation this year.
Yeah, we'll see what Paul George has to say about that.
Yeah. Well, he had a couple great things to say in there. Yeah, it is funny, of course, the banter between, you know, who won that trade. It's like, well, I won it before last night. I won it, and last night CJ did that. And that's the thing with CJ, like that was a top five CJ game of all time.
Yeah,
and I was listening to the guys on Blazer Outsider talk about, you know, whether we should, you know, and it's a hokey show, but whatever.
No, it's fine.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
They were talking like, well, that was one of CJ's best games he's ever had. This was just a typical Harden game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that's the difference. It's just like, that's a normal Harden game, 44 and 17. You know, like CJ played unreal.
Yeah.
So Harden's 15 pounds overweight and falling down 44 and 17, like,
but he does get to take 5 steps on that fucking
you're right,
he does.
That was crazy to watch that slow-mo replay on the one. I think it was in overtime. He takes a shot and they cut to the slow-mo and it's just like step back.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then he blames then to blame
Tucker. PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, yeah, he's incredible, but
I know.
He's insane. He's so good.
It would not be as fun to watch the Blazers watching him dribble around and shoot it, but it's hard to deny the talent. You know, so how does that fit in?
But if we're you know, dribbling around and shooting it, and Dame's hitting shots, and Nurk's beasting down low,
right?
And we got Covington, and we've got freaking Derek Jones Jr. is so good. He's such a good glue guy. You got all those other pieces. You're going
to
be.
I don't want us to talk ourselves into Harden. Jeremy's going to be listening to this. I told you guys.
I know that guy.
I think if it happens, like I see what they're thinking. I think I'm going to feel gross rooting for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, Dame signing, knowing that if it happens, hopefully that means Dame signed off. That'll give me a little bit of solace, but I think I'll still feel like a bad person.
I just don't, and first of all, Jeremy's just confused. We know that, right? Like, he's just confused. He wants to like the Blazers. He loves the Blazers. He just feels bad about it because he's already, like, he has a hard time just saying I was wrong. And that's all you need. That's all we need, Jeremy.
And
just come out and say you were wrong. You're a Blazer fan first. Like, it's okay, man. Come on in. The water's warm.
It runs deep in his family, having had his sister and brother both as students. Tim, his younger brother is a huge LeBron fan, or at least he was to a fault. And so I get it. It's what they do.
Yeah, I feel bad because I coached the guy, I felt like I had an opportunity to have this impact on him.
It should have been you.
Yeah. It should have been me, man. I mean, I tried to pull him up as a freshman on the varsity. Like, I wanted him to play O-line for me.
And if that would have happened, he'd be a Blazer fan today.
He'd be a Blazer fan today. I know. So really, it's Dan Wood's fault.
But I would say it keeps things more interesting having at least one guy that's irrational.
Oh, yeah. No, it's perfect that he's a fan of Harden, which is just like, if it was LeBron, it would be harder to just test.
Yeah.
Well, and he has such a visceral hate for guys that are kind of fun to watch play too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not Carl Anthony Towns, but the Steph Curry is like is like the way he plays. Like, I just love how much he hates him. It's just it's comical.
It's true. I can see where it's coming from, the shimmies and the whatever else is that Steph has pulled in.
And it's the same way we felt about Kobe. I mean, it's the same thing, right? Like, Kobe ripped your heart out you're just waiting for an opportunity to watch him fail.
Kobe and I go way back. But then, you're right. And he dies and all my feelings come out about him.
Yeah.
I felt like I missed an opportunity to enjoy his greatness, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to talk. Like, I don't, like,
I know, man.
Out of respect for him, I don't even want to talk about him because I hated him so much for so long.
Yeah.
And then he becomes his dad of, girl dad, which I'm a girl dad, right?
I know. There's so much there.
You know, he's doing great things for youth and things like that. And I just don't want to admit that it was good.
Right. And I hear you. Who did you hate more, Shaq or Kobe?
Kobe.
I do too. And I feel like if I was this age, if I was 40 when that was happening, it would be flip-flop.
It might be. And I think I hated Kobe for all the reasons that Shaq wasn't. Like, Kobe was so driven and so focused on winning, and Shaq was more like, I'm just dominant. But I hated Kobe just because he wasn't. Well, when those two broke up, it was Kobe's fault because Kobe was a jerk or whatever. And
Kobe was just way more driven than
Shaq. He just wanted to win.
Shaq could have been the most dominant player of all time, but he wasn't. He was so good, but he wasn't. And it's all those reasons why I think, like, if I was 35 watching this, it would have flip flopped for me. I would have hated Shaq more. I mean, I hated both of them. I was Blazer ride or die. But and the other thing is, like, I don't know how much I would have loved those 2000 teams. You know,
They
were not a bunch of good people. That's for sure.
Good point. Well, getting back to fantasy.
Yeah.
Stop talking about real basketball and our feelings about this. When we're talking about feats of strength, honestly, when I sat down and looked at my roster for this year, of my 15 active players, 12 of them were starters or are starters for their own teams. I'm like, I can't lose this year. I'm definitely a top three team. I got these guys that are starting, you know, like Nerlens Noel has been fumbling around forever and then ends up in New York where he was supposed to start. I don't think he started last night, but, and Tristan Thompson went to Boston where he should be starting. And anyway, so all this stuff happened. I'm like, you know, these guys don't understand what my team is because I got all these guys. I get it, you know. And then today, as of today in fantasy or in Yahoo, 1, 2, 3, 4 guys are out. I've got 4 guys out injured today. And so the score looks bad, but we're within 3 assists and 4 steals. And anyway, so if all my guys would have played, maybe I win this week, but I probably won't. So maybe the league pass crew was right and my team sucks. But
well, and the fact that you lost to the winners too. I lost a touch reverse box. Like I feel like okay. I mean he is. Right. I mean that last pod you guys already put him up as the number 2, right?
I put him as 1.
You put him as 1.
Mm-hmm.
I lost to the winners, and he Towns was out today. Wall hasn't played, and who else does he have that hadn't done anything? Well, and then he's got a bunch of guys. I'm like, who are these guys?
Jeff and I were talking about this. Like 7 minutes is really good still, but man, he's got a bad bench.
Yeah, he's got a really bad bench.
He's got like guys I've never heard of that aren't seeing the floor, like. Who are these people?
Yeah.
Who are he's got 5 guys I've never heard of on his roster. Like, you know, and Jeff is crushing him right now.
Yep.
And you know, like he's gonna mop up on a lot of the other stuff, right? The non Yahoo, but he's not a good Yahoo team. So like maybe it is maybe TRB is number 1. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is, well, I guess something that I'm trying to figure out is like what the like load management situation, right. How that's going to like Anthony Davis sat tonight for me, and
is that just rest?
It's listed as a calf contusion. But
okay, I just saw him in street clothes. I was like, oh, okay.
He's a first night tough guy. First night he's of a back to back. So like,
dude, it's all the like. It's just very difficult as a football coach and a football guy, like to his calf contusion. Like, come on,
man.
Even a high school basketball coach, kids play 3 games a day, or 7 days a week. Exactly, like, dude. You can't play 2 games in 2 nights. Come on, man. I guess the NBA season is a little more demanding than girls varsity basketball. But,
and there's this strategic piece to it that makes a lot of sense, but it's just tough for me.
See, that's something. That's another thing that. I wish there was I don't know of a way for it to work out for fantasy, but it would be cool if there was a way that we could incorporate these, like if it was beneficial for you to rest a player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're trying to mimic the league, I guess, but I don't think.
I don't know how you do that.
At some point it breaks down, but like you see the like logic of it, but so it sucks to be bummed that your guy is going to be healthier longer in the.
Right.
The only thing I thought of was, I don't think you can do this in Yahoo, but like you take a week, you know, your week's matchups. And let's say you've got 38 games that are going to be played. Like you pick your top 30 games for each guy. And then that, you know, maybe, I don't know if you can do that beforehand or not, but. I was thinking that today, like, well, he's got 2 more guys playing this week than I do. That's not fair. But how you could regulate that. So could you do like 30 games a week and maybe that's the load management piece I don't think Yahoo could track that. So maybe, you know, Jeff's got enough time. He can figure that out.
Yeah.
He loves this stuff. So he'll be
give me your top 30 games this week. I will track them by hand.
That's just not going to
happen. All 9 stats.
Like Chris, I think I like where you're going with it. No way. Right.
But that's what that's where I was thinking.
I think that's the right way to do it actually. Right. Yeah. I think that's how you would do it. Yeah.
So,
well, we solved that mystery. So
we did. There it is. We did. Thank you, Chris. Now,
yeah.
Jeff, now, I think that's a league rule because three of us voted yes.
20 more hours a week is all we need.
Starting tomorrow.
All we need. Starting tomorrow.
We'll pay you. We'll pay you with all of the, you know, we're paying a penny per dollar over the luxury tax.
I think you can keep all that. I think the luxury money just goes to Jeff. Let the luxury money all go to Jeff. All
48 cents gets
the way he has it, the way he has it set up. And then let's just add to his
workflow. I think that's perfect. But that way, because then my guys had sat for, well, if I have to predetermine, I don't know, but I can't determine that Kawhi's going to get a elbow to the face, but but I can determine if it's a back-to-back, he's sitting one of those, right? So I like that if there's a way to track that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
which one does he play?
But that would be the hard one. You would sit him the second night.
Just sit them both. Pick somebody. Yeah. I'll have Buddy Hield play all his games and not Kawhi. I don't know.
That is pretty good, man. I'll give you Harrison Barnes for Buddy Hield.
Ooh, over the air. No, not anymore.
I have Harrison Barnes.
I know. I don't love him anymore. Deal. It's a three-way trade.
I wonder how many times that's happened in the league, or if it has two players traded, they're both on the same team.
I wonder. I wonder how many GMs are sitting on Zoom right now with drinks going, I'll give you so-and-so. We don't have him anymore.
Have you been, so something that's been interesting to me to watch in the league this week is I guess the thing that I'm taking away from this week, and maybe we could all talk about like what your observations are of the NBA over the week. But the one thing that I'm taking away is this is just going to be a crazy year. Was it Milwaukee lost to Cleveland today?
Weird scores all over the place. How do you beat as a Clippers? You beat the two final Western Conference finalists and then lose by 50 to the Mavericks.
Right.
And
it's not like the Mavericks don't have people, you know, like Kawhi sitting, but Porzingis is sitting, right?
Porzingis is out.
So you're quite played in it. Oh no, quite sad.
I think, you know, teams that have high rollover, like the Blazers, are going to get off to slower starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got guys, you know, what they do with their time off. So I mean, some guys have been sitting since March, right? So, you know, Jeremy likes to bag on Golden State, and I love that Golden State sucks, but those guys haven't done anything meaningful for 10 months before now. And so,
does it help them or not? That's the other
piece. I don't think so. I think his short turnaround is probably better for these guys.
Brooklyn looked terrible, looked unbelievable, and then they lost to the Hornets. Doesn't make sense. Right. They looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
And motivation's a factor, you know,
it is.
And with 10 less games, can you still get fired up for 72 instead of 82?
And get fired up without a crowd there.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And the Wizards are bad.
There were several times in last night's Blazers game where I was like, okay, the crowd's going to take us into this one, you know, in normal circumstances.
I wonder
Cavs destroy the Sixers. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason here.
Yeah, I wonder, home court away, what that's going to turn out looking like. How many teams are going to have better away schedule or away results than home?
Yeah, totally.
Because I wonder if there's a little bit more psychological advantage for the away team. Like, if you're playing well and you know you're away and there is no home court to, get riled up.
Right. Well, and there's all the restrictions on you can't go out, you can't go to clubs. Guys have to focus on basketball, and maybe on the road it's even more so because you're not at home, and maybe they do play better.
It's
weird, man.
Yeah, it's been a crazy start as far as games go so far, which makes it fun. There's a lot of parity in the real NBA, which is nice, which maybe makes more parity for us too.
Yeah,
right. I honestly think that this is one of the better draftastic years for parity.
I'm curious to hear what are your top like rankings? I don't know if you want to go top five or rank the league or.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, I think honestly, like I thought going into this thing before really dissecting the 7 minutes, like lower end of their roster and seeing just like, I mean, their starters are unreal, but like beyond that, I think they're a giant. Obviously they've won back-to-back championships, but they're not unbeatable. Mm-mm. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like looking at it, like, I just think there's parity. I think the Blind Pigs, the Minutes, the Fluffheads, the Meat Stormers, the Unibrows, and Touch Reverse Box, like they're all right in there. And I honestly, like hearing you say that Touch Reverse Box is number one. I mean, they're loaded, man. They really are. And you know, they got Mitchell, they got Middleton, they got Tatum, they've got Embiid, they got Draymond Green when he comes back. Oh, and by the way, they have Damian Lillard.
Yeah,
like they're loaded.
Yeah,
and their bench is solid. It's guys like Will Valanciunas and Will Barton and Markkanen, and like they're good players coming off the bench. And they've got a few scrubs in there that everybody does. But
yeah,
like they might be the team to beat. They might be the team to beat. And you know, and I think there is, you know, 5-6 teams that have a shot at getting in that top three, and I think TRB and 7 minutes are probably one and two, and then and then there's, you know, there's the three of our teams battling for that next spot, and then, you know, who knows? I mean, the Tony Bros are looking pretty good. I mean, they were just who gave him Kyrie? Like what?
Was it Touch Reverse? It was Touch Reverse Box, or no, not Touch Reverse. It was the Philanthropics. It was, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Man, I just need to keep throwing some.
If Mays just held on to some guys for a season, it would he'd be right there.
Because
so many guys run through his lineups.
He's gonna get so mad that like we're talking trash about him again.
Yeah, you know what? He can deal with it, man. I mean,
Mays, I will trade you for Booker. I need four Phoenix starters. Let's go.
Right, like I'm right now looking at his, like thinking who can I steal today?
Yeah, I think Josh, I think you're right. I think Christian's right up there. I think Christian's probably our favorite, just in terms of his depth too. You know, Michael's got the top end talent, but I think Christian matches that almost, and then goes even further with his bench. You know, I looked through starting lineups and tried to compare. I was mostly comparing my team to everybody else's and seeing where it matched up. You know, Forrest, when I was looking at your group, I was like, okay, he's built himself a pretty good group there. So you know, to go away from picking myself as third, as everybody else has done in the last 3 weeks, I think I'd go Touch Reverse Box. I'd go 7 minutes, and then I'd probably go you.
Okay.
This
is a Hassan Whiteside plays.
And that was when I saw Hassan in your starting lineup. I was like, But
you go Mitchell Robinson with my starting center.
I couldn't figure it out. I liked your depth. I didn't like Whiteside there. But what I was trying to do was compare front courts and back courts to each team.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm biased because I have Nurk, but I was like, okay, I like my back. I like my front court.
Oh yeah.
But I do like the depth you built. So I'd put you right there. Well, I'll make you three. I'll make me 3B.
Yeah.
And hopefully I come out with winning my money.
I'm better than both your guys. It's not close. It's funny that you guys
I didn't want to pick myself as third because that's what everybody else is doing.
You guys have to play Josh.
Yeah, I think both of you guys are behind me and the Blind
Pigs. Well, we'll see, buddy.
We will.
Blind Pigs can kiss a bat. Whatever.
I mean, the fact that I thought I was, I did not
trust the team with Wiggins at all.
He had a good game today. Finally.
Great. Good for
him. He actually shot above 50%. I know they did. I know they did, which he's going to get a lot of opportunity there. That's what I'm looking at. Like Wiggins.
It's crazy how bad him and Oubre were that first game. And then even The second game, Oubre was terrible. I guess Wiggins must have been better. Yeah.
No, he wasn't. He was terrible.
He was still worse than Oubre.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. But today he had like 19, 5, and 7. Like he was solid today. Shot a good percentage.
That's great.
I just need that for him every third game.
You got him and Randall. Like those are the two ultimate. Like
Randall's good, dude. Randall's a good fantasy player.
Randall's a good fantasy player. Yeah.
He's a good fantasy player.
You're right.
Those are the tough guys that, I mean, so like for me with Whiteside this year, I was looking at, all last year, I was watching Jeff and be like, Whiteside is killing it for him, even though he's not playing well for the Blazers.
Totally.
And then him going to Sacramento and their other big being Holmes, I was like, Whiteside's going to. He's not really getting minutes, but he plays like 10 minutes a game and still gets 10 points and eight rebounds.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Blocks. And so it's just like, if he gets 20 minutes or something like that, he's going to like be a good, he's going to be good for me. But
early on, you guys were talking about in the last pod, you were talking about if the Kings are bad, then maybe Whiteside has a better year.
Yeah.
But you might need the flip side where the Kings are in contention and they need Whiteside's numbers to instead of Holmes. Right.
Right.
They might need him to stay in that eighth, you know, and I need him too, because I need Fox and Hield to get in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
That's my ticket to third place.
And it's interesting trying to like make a plan for like the guys that you're kind of taking a flyer a little bit on. Like, how do you set your starting lineups for the non-Yahoo?
Right.
Like, do you start the guy that you're kind of taking a flyer on who's got high upside in the first half or not? Yeah. So, yeah.
That's why I went Buddy Hield in the first half. And then second half, I'll probably change it up. Especially if, you know, obviously Sacramento's out of the running, then I might change that up. But it's like, he could put up, you know,
good numbers for sure. Early. Buddy,
who knows? And it's nice to have those options now where you could change starters versus like, these are my starters. This is the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
That is one thing that's nice about this league now that we have depth where we can adjust lineups from first half to second half.
Right.
So I'm still trying to figure out the rules on all of that.
Don't worry about it.
It's cool. It's
just run it back with singles.
I just need to post it to everybody, and one of you guys will know because I can't ask the commissioner or anything.
If you do ask him, he'll change the rules on you. So don't worry about it.
you can start a different roster for the second half, but you have to designate that 3 weeks before the first half starts.
And the moment
third round picks.
When your third round picks are born, you have to decide. You have to decide if you're going to sign them
lifetime for 5 contracts.
Years. Yeah, right.
commission.
All that stuff hit during football season. That was what we were talking about, Chris. Like the same.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine like if Adam or Traxel were still in the league and they're trying to keep up with this?
Oh, Lord. when you're doing your all-time finishes, I mean, Christian did inherit a team that had Dame on it already. I mean, he didn't inherit a last place team.
He inherited a great team, but he's made really savvy moves.
Yeah. So when he got his team, when he got Pritch slapped, that team, it had Lillard on it. Mm-hmm. Who else did he have at that point?
I don't remember.
What's that?
You got that lineup there?
Let's see. When was that? When was that? Like 14, 15? 13, 14, maybe? Yeah, they didn't last long.
No.
Let me pull it up.
Here
we go. 13, 14 was his first year. He had Fareed, Valanciunas, Lillard. He had Bledsoe, Festus Ezeli, who was actually good then. Crab. There's some no-namers on here too. But really, he had that.
But in that time, it's a good team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, Fareed was a good fantasy player.
Right.
Yeah, Austin Rivers.
Valanciunas and Lillard and Rivers and Bledsoe and Markieff Morris, like that's a solid core at that age. I mean, what was I rolling out there? That was my Anthony Bennett year. So, but I had Kemba and Clay. I've had so many good guys on my team. Mm-hmm. Steven Adams, Draymond Green, Lance Stevenson. I'll give him that 3 year.
Lance.
Josh, have you had Dion Waiters?
Yeah.
Chris, has he been on everybody?
I have not had Waiters, no.
Oh, you're the only one.
I must be.
And that you and I have traded, Josh and I know, have traded Isaiah Thomas back a couple times.
Yeah.
Back
and forth. Yeah.
And now he's with the Flint Tropics. One trade, not to spoil anything here, but one trade option I was thinking of proposing involved the Thomas contract.
Oh.
I went, Thomas? No. Even for that.
What a weird career that guy's had.
Yeah, I think that's a hard one to swallow. Like, how do you go from MVP to not playing in the league?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, he didn't win the MVP, but he was
a candidate. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, what was he, top five candidate that year, maybe?
Yeah. And they were
he's not even on a roster, right? No. Is he on? He's not even watching anymore, is he?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, never mind. That's crazy. Sorry, Maze. No deal. The deal I was going to make him, no deal.
He's been floating that out to everybody. No, don't worry. He's been floating that out to everybody.
Yeah, he and Ty Lawson, I feel like, are kind of similar in that way. Just like immediate flame out. Like
Jeremy Lin was another one.
Josh Jackson.
Mm.
He never flamed up.
Yeah, he had the flame on.
You're right. There's no flame at all.
He had a three in a game yesterday. I was like, oh, Josh Jackson.
I got to bring him back.
I got to trade Drummond for him.
Is there a bigger bust than Anthony Bennett?
I don't think so. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some bad ones, but I think that one takes the cake. My guy.
Since our league's been.
That might be a whole new podcast.
Yeah. Because I guess probably next closest would be Wiggins or Park. Who went first? Wiggins or
Parker? I mean, there's been some
Parker's
bad ones.
Right there. Parker's up there.
You couldn't even say Evan Turner. I mean, he was the second pick in our first year. Wesley Johnson.
Well, maybe that's the question. Like, biggest flame out, NBA draft, biggest flame out.
Yeah.
Draftastic draft.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, Derek Williams. Derek, he was the second pick in 2011. Pick. Yeah. That's pretty bad. Fredette.
Jimmer. He was in our league?
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Who was he drafted?
He was drafted like sixth or seventh, so I guess that's tough to say that he was. I mean, Dion Waiters was the biggest bust out of the 2012, and he had a couple good years.
He's got Thomas a ring, Robinson.
Man. Come on. Yeah, he does. Trey Burke was one. Obviously, Anthony Bennett.
I thought
Shabazz Muhammad was going to be good.
Yeah. But. There was like suck for Shabazz, right? That was the mantra that year.
Oh, here's a fluff head. Dante Exum.
That was a tough one.
He had a good game the other day, didn't he?
He's still in the league, at least.
He's in the league?
He's Cleveland, isn't he?
He's Cleveland. Yeah, he's in Cleveland.
I think he had a really good game the other day.
And the best thing I did with him was I didn't extend him, and then Flint Tropic signed him for more money than he should have.
Moutier was pretty bad.
I think X and Moutier are the same year.
Timber Cox drafted Herzogna. Oh, man. The worst player in the league. Is he still in the league?
Herzogna?
He went to
the glitch. They fixed the glitch, didn't they? They just like, yeah.
No, not. somebody.
Who'd we send him to? Houston? Was he part of the Houston deal?
He got signed by a team, and I remember like Zach Lowe being like, they had an opportunity, they had some space, and they signed Mario Hezonja.
Dragan Bender. Bender. Yeah, who's that? The fourth pick in the 2016 draft from Timbercocks. Holy cow, that's a bad pick. I don't think he played in the league.
Dragan Bender?
Did he?
Yeah, he was on the Suns.
Right. Did he play though?
He played. He wasn't good, but he played.
League pass guys that know all this stuff.
Yeah, he played a little bit. I kept an eye on him for a little while, just out of curiosity. He has such a cool name. I thought, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to have the dragon on my team. But he never was good enough to warrant.
Oh man, he's bad.
Yeah.
It would be fun to go back through these draft years and just see who.
It is pretty fun. Flint Tropics picked around. Josh Jackson fourth in 2017. Dennis Smith. That's Dennis Smith Jr., right?
Oh, or yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Florian Smith. Yeah.
I drafted Dennis Smith Jr. sixth overall, I think.
I don't know. I mean,
Donovan Mitchell.
Jeff drafted Jan Vesely, so there's that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And Frank, whatever.
Jeff drafted Enes Kanter pretty high.
Yep.
Boy, Kevin Knox, the third pick, huh? Wow. By the Tony Bros.
Ooh, that's
yikes.
That's a good one.
This is a good draft, dude. The you look back at the 2018 draft. Ayton, Luka. Yeah, 18. Ayton, Luka, Kevin Knox, which, you know, that's a bad pick. Bagley, actually, Wendell Carter.
Jaren Jackson.
Kevin Knox at that number is bad, but that's who he traded for Kyrie.
Guys gave me – well, and this was another – I know we're done with we're kind of at the end of the pod. But
yeah, we're winding it up.
We're wrapping it up. But here's the other thing. Like, you guys gave me all this crap about Obi Toppin. And
that was Jeff. Guys, I didn't have an opinion.
You guys, Jeff gave me the same crap about Trae Young. And I watch him just make beautiful basketball love on the court.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
it happens. Wow. Have you watched him play?
The Pendletons are kicking in over here. It's
I thought you
it's
said
unreal. It's unreal. Why
beautiful now? Love to the court.
Not to the court.
Oh, sorry.
To the ball, to the other
not
guys.
To anything in particular. Know. It's just basketball. Beautiful basketball love.
Yeah, whatever.
It's so beautiful. Anyway, I picked them 10th, guys. I picked them
that's 10th. That's pretty incredible at 10.
Good for you.
That's
we'll talk about this 5 years from now going, what the hell was Joe thinking?
All right. I don't think you can look at, you know, you got to at least wait 3 years before you look at the draft.
All right, who's the guy you're watching to see if they're a bust? For me, it's Jonathan Isaac. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that guy could be good. I have high expectations for him, but he can't play, it feels like, ever.
Right. Well, he just keeps blowing out a knee here and there.
Yeah. But I still have hope for him, I think.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. What island are you on? I guess I think I'm on Jonathan Isaac Island, but I can't decide for sure.
The guys that you just don't know, I think like Bagley would be a guy.
Oh, yeah,
me.
That's a good one.
Bagley's a good one.
You know, I just don't know like who he is. Wendell Carter's another one. Like,
yeah.
A couple guys that I think are really good, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Mark,
you know, I thought Macklemore was going to be the real deal, you know. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, Markkanen's another good one. Those guys that you just don't know quite yet.
But those guys that play for Sacramento and Chicago,
exactly.
Right, yeah, all of Sacramento and Chicago team. Kobe White, my guy Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Anthony, those two guys are going to be good.
De'Aaron Fox is the man, by the way.
He's good.
You were lukewarm on him for us when you were talking about him, but he's a real deal.
Okay, here's another one.
Surrounded by
Fultz.
Crap.
But Fultz is a guy. Fultz is a guy that I'm looking at. Fultz is probably the guy I'm looking at right now and saying, is he a bust or not?
If Fultz pans out, Boskies is set up pretty well.
He played well this week.
Yeah.
But I don't know what pans out for him means.
I don't know either.
He's a superstar. He's not Jason Tatum.
He's not
Fox. What does panning out mean? Like, I'm looking at that draft.
If he can be a starting at this, and he doesn't live up to his expectation, but I think being a starting point guard and distributor and that with that team with enough guys that can score around him, he's good, but not a fantasy good.
I'm hoping for him to flop because I have Cole Anthony as backup.
He like his stat. It's convenient, but he and Zion are both on Boskies, and they, aside from rebounds, so Zion had 35 rebounds this week, but they both shot about 50% from the field. Fultz shot 90% from the free throw line, 62 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists, 3 steals and a block. Then Zion was 65 points, 35 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 steals and 2 blocks. And and shot 57% from the free throw line.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And Bowski's been trying to get Trey Young out of me. And Fultz was the big piece that he was dangling. Not happening.
But he's in Orlando, which is another team that everybody on there is a mystery.
And Bowski's has several Orlando guys now, so he's
he's
like I am in the West with Phoenix.
Trying to diversify a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So we need to do a podcast that is reviews previous drafts
and
free agencies.
Yep.
And rates them.
Yep. We need to give them grades. There's grades that need to be given graded. Out. And really, I think we start in 2010. We attack 3 years at a time.
Yeah.
Both those topics. Wow.
I think until we get into free agency, into real life free agency, that's a lot to do if we're doing real free agency and the draft for 10 teams or whatever it is.
Yeah, right. For 10 years.
But I think we can do the first 3 years in one podcast or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that'll be good. I think that's some well, it'll be the listeners will just be happy.
The listeners. We might get a sponsor for this podcast.
Yeah. I had to talk to my wife about deep penetration. What are you doing now? I'm on a podcast.
You didn't know what that meant, huh?
She had a lot of it's like my friend. You know Forrest? Forrest is our friend. I'm just disappointed.
I put a lot of time and thought into that name, and it just feels
right.
It's perfect.
It feels right.
The theme song works with it too. It's great.
Oh,
it's
unreal.
I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, it's really good work for us. Some of your better work in your life.
I think it really
in your whole life.
It's going to go down. I think people may look back and say that was the moment he peaked.
That guy didn't.
That was it right there. That
nothing else song. But the theme song.
You might be able to sell that.
Do you know who the name? Do you know any of the? Or so there's two voices.
No idea.
One of them is some coach from Australia, but the other one is, I always forget his, the Jet, but the Dallas, not Kenny.
Jason Terry.
Jason Terry. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that says, get deep and penetrate the picks.
Suck the D in.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Suck the D in and penetrate the bigs. Oh my goodness.
Man.
So
on that note.
Thank you guys. We can definitely do this more times
as well. Maybe sometime in the next 10 years you'll invite us.
I think
us
it
back.
Is. We'll you're see. Right. Like
I think Chris and I are on the 10-year cycle.
Yeah, I'll email you in seven-ish years and we can make a plan.
Sure.
Excited about that. I can't wait to discuss
We'll just keep bitching and slide.
Seven draft. Can't wait to discuss that.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks. Good night, guys.
That's the ostensible reason for doing the clinic.